This is 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. I'm Patrick Campion, sitting in for David Fair today for Issues of the Environment. Now, this is the time each week on Wednesday mornings where we chat about an issue that is facing our community, and generally it has to do with something in the realm of the environment. That's why it's called Issues of the Environment. But that's a pretty wide term, and this week we're going to be talking about something that I think a lot of people don't really think about, and that is a chemical that could be present on some of the receipts, especially that you get every day from all those stores you shop at, and why that chemical may be dangerous, and what's being done to replace it, and why the replacement itself may have some issues. So we are certainly no experts on chemistry, especially environmental chemistry, but we bring in experts to help us out with that sort of information. So today we are talking with Lauren Olson. And Lauren is the Science Campaign Director for Healthy Stuff, which is a project at the Ecology Center. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
And Lauren, just give us a quick overview again. What is the Ecology Center and your project, Healthy Stuff? What is that as a part of the Ecology Center?
The Ecology Center is a 501c3 nonprofit in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we have several different topic areas that we focus on, from environmental education to climate change, to food issues. And Healthy Stuff is a project of the Ecology Center that focuses on the chemicals that you don't know about that are in consumer products, from dairy products to children's car seats.
And today we're talking about receipts specifically. I know that the BPA and BPS, and we'll get to what those are in a moment, exist in other places, but primarily the way that we're interacting with them and having those chemicals enter into our environment is through receipts. So let's talk about that for a moment. I think most people see a receipt and they think, hey, it's a piece of paper, but what is really going into making a receipt at the average retailer?
So most receipts are thermally printed, which means when heat is applied to the receipt, it causes a reaction which allows the dye to be visible.
Oh, so okay. That's why if I leave it sitting on the dashboard of my car, it kind of gets all blacked out because the heat is actually affecting the paper.
Right. So one developer that's very common for this is BPS, and that's similar to BPA, which are chemicals which are of concern to us.
So this BPA and BPS, basically it's like almost like a coating on the paper that when you heat it up, that's what actually makes the paper do the magic of showing you the 3-foot-long receipt from your local pharmacy.
That's correct, okay. Yes.
So BPS, let me get this straight. Is it BPS that was around first or BPA?
BPA has been around for quite a long time.
Okay.
And that's the one you might remember from Nalgene bottles. People were very concerned because they were in that. They're a common plasticizer. And they have been banned from some children's products.
Right. And you see that on the label, that BPA-free is a thing mm-hmm. that we see on. Okay. But people are substituting, in a lot of cases, BPS for that BPA.
Right.
And the contention now is that even though BPS hasn't been around very long, initial results are starting to show that it could be dangerous as well. So let's go back to BPA for a second. What were some of the dangers posed by exposure to BPA?
Well, BPA was originally created as a fake estrogen. So it is what's called an endocrine disruptor. So the endocrine system is your hormonal system. So it has a similar shape, the molecule, to some hormones. Therefore, can interact with the cells in a way that your hormones interact, which can wreak havoc on your body because it's trying to process a fake hormone.
Sure, and it sounds like from what you just described, that might be most dangerous for maybe expecting women.
Yes, pregnant mothers are probably most at risk in terms of BPA exposure, but there have been other studies that have shown that it can affect teens, and there might be some effects as well on adults.
Okay, so what tests were done and what kind of the short history on why that isn't used as much as it used to be?
Well, I think it's a lot from groups such as ours, which have been campaigning to get BPA out of products. That way we can reduce exposure, but eventually would like to see BPA not used at all.
So there's no law on the books right now that says that BPA is illegal or it can't be used in receipts or it can't be used in things that this is mostly just manufacturers deciding on their own to do the quote-unquote right thing and get away from this harmful chemical.
Yeah. And so right now, many receipts manufacturers seem to be marketing their receipts as BPA-free, but they're using the toxic cousin of BPA, which is BPS.
Okay. So tell me, what is this BPS, and what's the difference from the BPA?
Oh, it's molecularly just somewhat different. And although there's not as much data, as you mentioned, on the environmental health effects, so far the results have been that it has very similar health effects in terms of being an endocrine disruptor.
So this is raising a red flag. And in the world of chemical science, especially when you're doing research like that, it takes a long time to see what the long-term effects are, to get enough studies done. So we're still in the kind of the early phases of that, correct?
Yes. But what we do know is that both BPA and BPS enter the bloodstream of cashiers. And there have been several studies that have shown measuring the general population and the amount of BPA and BPS in their system versus cashiers pre and post shift. And conservatively, there's a 70 times more BPA and BPS in a cashier's system after a shift.
So this is something that Healthy Stuff, you actually did as a project, went out and got receipts and tested them. Is that's right, correct?
Yeah, so we tested different receipts from 148 different businesses, over 200 receipts, and we found that predominantly 76% of businesses are using BPS. And another small percentage are using BPA receipts.
So BPA is still around for a few people, but these are all retailers in our community, right? These are places like Meijer and Trader Joe's. I mean, they're not the off-the-wall places. These are big box stores, things that everybody would recognize.
Correct, yeah. So major retailers are still using this BPS. There are alternatives available, and Best Buy is really taking the lead in that, and they have an alternative receipt paper which does not have BPA or BPS in it.
Okay, so that's what we're really shooting for. Best case scenario is we get to these stores that we either work at or shop at places that don't have BPS or BPA, but it sounds like it's almost unavoidable at this point. So if we're an employee at these stores or if we're just a consumer that's coming into contact with the receipts, what can we do to avoid the ill effects, the possible ill effects of exposure to BPS or BPA?
Well, one way would be not to get a receipt at all if you don't need it. Another thing that you can do is get a digital receipt or e-receipt, because then you're avoiding, you still have the proof of the purchase, but you don't have to get the physical paper and the cashier is not exposed. Now, if you're a cashier, I do recommend washing your hands as often as you can, wearing gloves, and also speaking with your employer about the receipt paper and hopefully they can get an alternative.
So that was a question, too. I know that just hand washing, of course, properly done, following the guidelines, which actually you've worked on as your organization, that is enough to clear out a lot of this exposure, or is it all of it, or do you know, can you measure how effective a good hand cleaning is?
There have been studies done by other organizations in the published literature about hand washing in relation to this, and it does, the BPA and BPS does need to stay on the skin for a little while in order to enter the bloodstream. It really depends on the person and how hard they've touched the receipt. But hand washing does help in terms of being able to reduce your exposure.
One of the pieces of data that you gave us that you've looked into is the BPA and BPS limits in different safety standards that exist in the world. And what it looks like is that BPA does have some established safety standards for what you can be exposed to based on your body weight and things and how often. BPS doesn't have anything right now. And again, as I go back to, is it just it's too new of a thing to have hit the governing bodies like the FDA?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, we don't even have any rules about BPA in receipts. It's all been voluntary by manufacturers. So there hasn't been any estimated daily tolerable intake.
And the standards appear to vary pretty wildly. Like, for example, the European Food Safety Administration is saying that a BPA limit should be 4,000 nanograms per kilogram of body weight per day. In the U.S., mm-hmm. it's 50,000 nanograms. I mean, that's a pretty substantial difference in exposure.
Yes, it is. And also, we have found through the literature that receipt paper might be the number one way in which people are exposed to BPA and BPF.
Lauren Olson, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Lauren is the Science Campaign Director for Healthy Stuff, which is a project at the Ecology Center in Ann Arbor. I'm Patrick Campion for 89.1 WEMU. To find more about this and other topics for issues of the environment, go to WEMU.org.